Welcome to another ABC Radio National podcast. For more information, go to abc.net.au/rn.
Hello from Stephen Crittenden. Welcome to the Religion Report. It's just over 2 weeks until the federal election, and Christian groups are working hard to put religion high on the political agenda. The Australian Christian Lobby, for example, has sent out a questionnaire to all major parties, asking them to justify why they're worthy of the so-called Christian vote. Most parties responded, but the Greens declined the offer, saying they refuse to play by rules dictated by Australia's religious right. We'll hear from Green Senator Christine Milne in a moment, but first, let's hear from Jim Wallace, the Managing Director of the Australian Christian Lobby. Jim Wallace, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Stephen.
You've encouraged the political parties to court the Christian vote at this election, and I've read that you've said the Christian vote has had an unprecedented profile in the lead-up to this election. I want to make the opposite suggestion, that by coming out as a committed Christian, Kevin Rudd has effectively neutralised religion as an issue in this election, and as a result, groups like yours are desperately trying to deal yourselves back in a way, to the mainstream debate.
No, not at all, Stephen. I think from the very outset, when we realised that there would be some debate about whether there was a Christian constituency or not, that we needed to prove that. And when we held the Make It Count event, in which the two leaders, for the very first time in political history, came and addressed church leaders in Canberra, and then had their addresses webcast out to over 100,000 people. Now, that showed two things. First, the fact that both leaders were there, making a historical precedent of both being on the same platform, same night, and addressing one constituency. That showed that they believed there was a Christian constituency. And secondly, the fact that it came out in those numbers, over 100,000 people right around Australia, and showed not only its size, but its commitment, you know, to get out there, I think proved once and for all that it is there.
Jim, just remind us, who does the Australian Christian Lobby represent? Most of the mainstream churches would have their own policy platforms and they would lobby on their own behalf in Canberra. What are your formal ties to the churches?
Now, look, we represent just our supporter base, and our supporter base are those people who actually join us. That supporter base is right across the denominations. I mean, we have fewer Roman Catholics only because we haven't sought Roman Catholics, because I realise that the Catholic Bishops' Conference is very well organised in this regard, and I don't think Catholics really see themselves as needing another lobby.
But so what numbers are we talking about?
Well, we're talking in the Australian Christian Lobby at the moment of 7,500 people. We grow at the rate of 65 to 80 a month, or 65 to 100 a month sometimes. And so I think we can claim it's one of the fastest growing political organisations in Australia. I mean, most parties are actually going backwards.
Why have you picked a fight with the Greens, refusing to post their reply to your questionnaire on your website?
I think they've picked a fight with us. You know, I mean, we're very happy to have the Greens answer our questions. Clearly, as any organisation that goes out to a party or to anyone else and says, well, we'd like your opinions on this range of issues, we're not about to allow them to decide that they'll dictate to us what they give a reply on and what they don't. You know, we've asked them for a reply to all the questions. It's only fair, having asked the other parties for that and the other parties haven't responded, to
couldn't
say,
you,
well,
to be fair, just have posted once their single blanket statement on your site so people could read it for themselves?
No, I don't believe that would have been fair at all, because that is to fly in the face of our guarantee to the other parties that we would put the responses to those questions up there. The important thing is here that the Greens didn't feel that they could actually answer all these questions and retain the Christian vote, or they decided that there were other constituencies that were more important to engage than the Christian constituency.
Well, in fact, the Greens have provided a very full and detailed answer to a similar questionnaire sent to them by the Centre for an Ethical Society. That's people like Bishop George Browning in Canberra.
I fully support the Centre for an Ethical Society, but it's a very small organisation and it has a very focused interest, and it happens to align with the Greens' strong points, which are on refugees, the environment, and I think that's a great thing. But I think in what we're doing, we're trying to provide a service to a much broader Christian constituency, and that constituency is interested in more than just a very narrow range of issues.
Well, I mean, this is a very interesting thing. I mean, I don't think it's unfair to say that once upon a time, the kind of groups that you represent would have been the Anglican, Presbyterian, Baptist constituency, and that when that group spoke out in past decades on social matters, it was often considered to be wowserish. Now, this raises the question of what sort of Australia you want now. This is a very hedonistic, secular society. Do you want a closed-up, locked-down, censorship-ridden, respectable Australia? What are you plugging for now?
Well, you know, as you said, I think that might have been the case in the past. I don't think that's the case now. And as I go around, for instance, to churches almost every other weekend, I see churches that are very vibrant. I see people who are very interested in bringing a positive influence into society across the whole range, very much represented by those questions, so the whole range of issues from social justice to moral issues. I don't think it's wowserism. A family is the basic building block of society. Parties need to be supporting families. They need to be advantaging marriage because it does provide for a committed relationship, which is best for children, is proven best for children, best for the adults themselves. We need to stand up on these issues and not be put off by charges of wowserism, which are quite a nonsense. I mean, I've served in the Army for 32 years. I served in the SAS for 8.5, Special Forces for 11.5. I assure you, I'm no wowser, but I have a strong Christian faith.
Let's look at two of your biggest issues, abortion and gay marriage. Aren't those issues just not really playing as issues in this election? I mean, abortion, because it was effectively put to bed by women on both sides of the parliament in the conscience vote on RU486, and gay marriage, because both major parties say they're opposed to it.
Yeah, well, let me first say that they're not our biggest issues. You know, we did a survey, a poll, in conjunction with the National Church Life Survey, which is a very credible poll. Our part of the poll addressed over 3,376 people across 22 denominations, and the biggest issues were found to be family and marriage, 58%, 44% were concerned about poverty, and 40% abortion. So certainly abortion's right up there, and I think that's right that abortion should be. If you look at, and we're in 2007 and we are celebrating or commemorating Wilberforce and his campaign against slavery, Wilberforce was motivated by his Christian faith from a belief that slavery was against the dignity of the human being. And I think in this century that abortion is exactly the same thing.
Tony Abbott said recently that there was no prospect anywhere in Australia of abortion being recriminalised in the future. There's no significant political party that has any program to change the law in any parliament in Australia. I mean, aren't you wasting your time on this?
No, we're not. You know, no more than Wilberforce was wasting his time when he pursued this issue of the dignity of the human being in slavery. He pursued it for the whole term of his life. He gave up his career, which could have seen him the Prime Minister of England. And this issue of abortion is one which has to be similarly pursued. Now, on the issue of homosexuality, yes, we're very pleased with the fact that both parties have come out, have upheld marriage, have said that they won't have civil unions and civil partnerships. But at the same time, we're equally pleased that both of them have said that they will look individually at areas of unreasonable discrimination against homosexuals and address those. And we're very happy that...
Actually, Labor said that it will reform the law, and the Coalition said they'll look at it. Labor's actually given a commitment.
I think actually in both areas, both are committed to look at areas of individual discrimination and see if they can address those. But what they're planning to do is address those through a precedent that's already there in superannuation legislation, for instance, for private funds, where they identify that people who are in a codependency or interdependency relationship should have special treatment of things like superannuation. So we're very happy to see that happen.
Right, because this is an area, I think, where a lot of members of the general public would be surprised. I've talked on this program about the views of the Sydney Anglicans. Peter Jensen said to me, we're opposed to gay marriage and we're opposed to gay adoption, but we're not opposed to reforming the law so that gay couples can share their superannuation rights or all of these other areas of discrimination that have been identified. It's the same view for you.
Oh, yeah, no, it's the same view for us. We believe you've got to, as a Christian, look for justice in the world. And we believe that part of that is making sure that in a secular society in particular, that people are treated fairly. Now, I want to make clear, though, that what we're not about doing is providing a platform for the activists within the community, right? The activists. You should be aware that there's a big divide between the activists in the homosexual community and the general person who just wants to get on with his life, for whom, you know, that is his lifestyle. And we just want to make sure there's not a platform for the activists to use later, as we've seen many parts around the world, to attack marriage, to continue this campaign after marriage.
Do you agree with the Reverend Tim Costello's assessment last week that Kevin Rudd is way ahead of the Prime Minister on commitment to overseas aid?
Well, I've actually spoken to Tim. I think he was a bit misreported there. I think the reality is that he sees no reason, and I see no reason, why the coalition wouldn't match where Labor has gone on that. I mean, the reality is that
Labor's promised 0.5 of a percent of GDP in overseas aid.
By 2015.
Now, and he's called on the coalition to match that.
That's right, and we've called on to match it as well.
So you agree that they should try and match that?
Absolutely, because, you know, really, and I think Brian Houston has come out and said something similar, that really this is a moral issue, you know, and it's interesting that when people try to pigeonhole Christian concern into either moral or social justice, that this is just one example, and a good one, where you can't pigeonhole concern that easily, because they've both come out and said this is a moral issue, and yet we'd probably traditionally see it as a social justice issue, but of course it is a moral issue.
On ABC Radio National, Radio Australia, online and on your pod, this is the Religion Report, and my guest is Pastor Jim Wallace, who's the director of the Australian Christian Lobby. Jim, I wonder whether it may be a hidden strength of your group that you still seem able to perhaps determine what the template for an Australian Prime Minister will be. And you've got both our major political leaders, in a sense, jumping through your hoops. It may be Kevin Rudd's ultimate Me Too-ism. That in a way, that might have come naturally to Howard because of his Methodist background. Mm. Perhaps Rudd had to work a bit harder as a former Maris Brothers boy, but that in the end, you end up with two competing conventional suburban WASPs.
Yeah, I don't think I can claim responsibility for that, Stephen, as much as I'd like to.
It's true, though, isn't it?
It is true that we have, of course, both leaders very much espousing Judeo-Christian values. It does reflect the fact that across the parliament, you do have a lot of Christian people in the parliament. And I would like to think that one of the reasons for that is that Christian people, I hope, are motivated towards public service.
It's not just public service, though, is it? I mean, when you think about it, avowedly atheist John Curtin wouldn't fit that Christian template. Alfred Deakin, who was a spiritualist, wouldn't measure up to that Christian template. I don't think Mark Latham did. It does seem that we do have this fairly narrow feel for what an Australian Prime Minister needs to be these days, and, you know, narrower than perhaps it has been in the past. I wonder what's the reason for it.
Well, I don't think it's narrow. If you consider that 64% of Australians say they're Christian, I think that means that if you push them hard enough, that they will defend Christian values or Christian heritage, you know. I'm not saying that they'll go to church. We know that 20% or 19% of Australians go to church once a month. So once again, this is a large body of people who have a belief in Christian values, you know, they're somewhere there in their life, that they do affect the way that they think and work on a day-to-day basis. So I don't think at all that it's surprising to see that reflected in our parliament.
Mm. Jim, if I can just go back to your questionnaire, one area that struck me was the question you asked on industrial relations, which of course has been such a huge issue. You asked the various political parties a single question about industrial relations. Mm. The loss of penalty rates for weekend or public holiday work threatens to erode family time and intrudes on Sunday as a day of worship and rest. What would your party do to safeguard family time? Mm. Is that the best you can come up with on a topic like... I mean, a soft question like that open the Australian Christian Lobby to the charge that you're really just a front for the Liberal Party? That you're endorsing Liberal Party policy. You're not being as tough as you might be.
No. I think something that a lot of political leaders have spoken out on time and time again is the fact that they expect church commentary into the political debate to be in areas of their expertise. You know, there are people who are better able to comment on, for instance, the issues of fairness. I actually went down to
fairness isn't a Christian issue.
No, it is. But there are people better able to comment on that. I actually went down in trying to follow this up. I went down and spoke to one of the major unions in Victoria and just got their cut on it, you know, and I've also spoken to many members of the Liberal Party as well. But I decided in the end that the area that was not getting the push that it should, and I thought it was rightfully, we could say, our area of expertise, was the issue of how much work choices actually affected family life, you know, because we believe, and you saw there that I said earlier that 58% of Christians believe that family and marriage are the most important issue. And that was 14% above the next issue, which was 44% was poverty.
Where do you think, Jim, the Howard government leaves truth and honesty in Australian public life after 12 years in office?
Look, I don't, I must admit, I don't believe that politicians of any side are inherently dishonest. And I don't necessarily believe that the political process is inherently dishonest. I certainly believe that those people who go into politics go in there with the best of intent. And so I certainly wouldn't charge the Liberal Party or Labor with an inherent dishonesty, you know.
It seems to me that perhaps the biggest potential political story in Australia this year was when the new Howard biography came out a few months back, and it quoted Jeanette Howard, quote, "You talk about a whole lot of things when you're trying to convince people to do things, but you don't go back and honour every single one of those unless you have made a firm commitment about it, and John wasn't into making firm commitments." Shouldn't that be a devastating piece of information to Christians to hear the Prime Minister's own wife saying he doesn't keep his word?
Well, you know, it depends how you take that. I mean, that's the first time I've heard that, but I would take that to mean that if you go to hold people to things in political life, then certainly you have to get an agreement on it. I mean, that's the way we understand that that's how the system works. I would expect, though, that an oral declaration is binding. She's saying that you can only hold someone to something that's actually a written agreement. I do understand that in one sense in politics, but I would hope that in Australia at large that we hold a man to his word, you know, that if a man's as good as his word, if he says something, then we should be able to hold it to him. And I think particularly during this election campaign, we're very alert to that, and we are expecting to hold our politicians to what they say.
Thank you very much for being on the program.
I've enjoyed it, Stephen.
The Managing Director of the Australian Christian Lobby, Jim Wallace. Well, in their statement sent to the Australian Christian Lobby, the Greens say many Christians vote Green because they recognise the Greens' commitment to peace, non-violence, social justice and the environment. But the Greens have run into strife with organised religion before. Remember their fight with the Exclusive Brethren, or Senator Kerry Nettles' infamous T-shirt telling Tony Abbott to get your rosaries off my ovaries during the RU486 debate. Greens Senator Christine Milne of Tasmania isn't up for re-election this time around, but she's out on the hustings. Senator, welcome to the program. Why did you refuse to respond to the Australian Christian Lobby's questionnaire in the form in which it was presented?
Well, we had a look at the questionnaire, and there are a number of issues. The first is that the Australian Christian Lobby is a private company. It's a lobbying company, and like every other lobbying company, it lobbies on behalf of its clients. And it was not clear to us who's funding the Australian Christian Lobby and where they were actually coming from. Certainly their public face has been to focus almost exclusively in many years until recently on private and personal morality, and certainly the question that I found particularly offensive was the one on vilification, because there is nothing in the Gospels to suggest that vilification of another person is in any way fundamentally a Christian way to behave. And I saw that as the Pastor Danny Nalliar question, and it highlighted to me that this was really a questionnaire from the fundamentalist Christian churches.
This is the question that talked about the way vilification legislation has restricted the church's freedom of speech, and you're referring to the Catch the Fire ministry case in Victoria.
Well, it's the 10th question in the questionnaire, but of course we all know that Pastor Danny Nalliar was arrested for vilification because he was talking about tearing down temples and vilifying Muslims. And he fought that through the courts, but that is something that he has been particularly strong about. And of course, he's come out strongly supporting the re-election of the Howard government. He's got a very close personal relationship with the Prime Minister, such that the Prime Minister handed over Parliament House for a service that Pastor Danny Nalliar ran during the election campaign. So it seemed to me that the Australian Christian Lobby isn't representing the mainstream Christian churches, and certainly not the strong traditions of social justice and tolerance and participation and love that fundamentally comes from Christian values.
Do you think, though, that by refusing to answer the questionnaire in the form that it was provided, the Greens perhaps opened themselves to the very charge that the Australian Christian lobby has made, that the Greens display an obvious disdain for Christian values?
Well, on the contrary, the Greens don't have obvious disdain for Christian values. That is something that perhaps Mr. Wallace might say, but there are many Christians who are members of the Greens, and by our actions in the Parliament, we say that every piece of legislation is values-laden, and we argue that the budget is one of the pieces of legislation which demonstrate what sort of values you hold, and that's very much a Christian-laden document in the sense of, you know, I was hungry and you gave me food, I was thirsty, you gave me to drink, I was a stranger and you took me in, I was sick and you visited me. The Greens are the only ones who stood up against the tax cuts, who said we ought to be putting money into health and education, saying if we can't support Indigenous rights and health and education now when we've got such a surplus, when will we? And I must say that the Australian Christian lobby has never come out and made a statement supporting the strong stand the Greens have taken on refugees, against the Northern Territory intervention. In fact, I think Mr. Wallace supported the Pacific solution.
I was going to suggest that the Labor Party had avoided being wedged by the Christian lobby at this election, but the Greens perhaps had been wedged by the Australian Christian lobby. Maybe another way of looking at it is that you've actually managed to wedge the Christian vote by demonstrating that there are perhaps two wings to the Christian vote. I'm aware that the Greens have provided a very detailed set of responses to a similar questionnaire by the Centre for an Ethical Society.
Exactly, and they recognise just how strongly Greens adhere to principles of social justice, human dignity, respect for life. We have policies of harm minimisation, harm reduction. We're out there saying we welcome comment on public economic and social policy, that we really want to see the principles of justice there. And I'm interested also that the Australian Christian lobby never ever talks about the fact that it's easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than the rich man, and that's because of the whole prosperity gospel. And I've been urging since my inaugural speech to the Parliament that what we need is a real values debate in this country where we actually talk about the values that underpin social and economic policy, because the way that the Australian Christian lobby has managed to define Christian values is to confine it to a very narrow range of values, therefore suggesting that every other issue is value-free. And what that does is reinforce the conservative governments, which basically bring in policies which approve of discrimination, which don't show compassion, which are intolerant, which don't give a fair go, and somehow those things are not values laden. Mm. So I think this was a serious effort by the Greens to really demonstrate that before we see this this incursion of really fundamentalist religious right into Australian politics, people need to know where it's coming from. And I think Mr. Wallace could clear that up by actually saying who's funding the Australian Christian lobby.
Nonetheless, Christine Milne, isn't it also true that there are certain elements that go to making up the Green Party? And I'm thinking of the hard left types on one hand, perhaps the tree-hugging libertarian dope-smoking types on the other, who are always going to prevent the Greens from appealing to the Australian mainstream, groups which have always been anti-religious. I'm even thinking of Senator Kerry Nettle and her Get Your Rosaries Off My Ovaries T-shirt that offended so many people a year or so back.
Well, I certainly wouldn't have used that language myself, but what Kerry was trying to express was a strong position on a woman's right to control their own reproduction and access to legal, safe and affordable and confidential reproductive health services, including, where appropriate, termination of pregnancy. I mean, basically providing access to unbiased counselling is really very important in Australia. We do not want to go back to the old days of backyard abortions, but the critical thing is to prevent unwanted pregnancies in the first place. But let me also say, Stephen, that just as you might say that about people in the Greens, you know, the Howard government took Australia to war in Iraq. The Howard government lied about children overboard. The Howard government repudiated refugees, all fundamental Christian values, which were completely rejected in those particular actions. And they're also out there giving away $34 billion in tax cuts when we've got 100,000 people homeless in Australia. And it's that particular issue of, if you do that to other people, then you are actually, you know, undermining Christian principles. Mm. And loving one another is really important.
A last question. The Greens are obviously in direct competition with Family First for votes in the Senate. Family First appears to have done a deal with the Liberty and Democracy Party, which supports abortion and legalised marijuana. I think you could safely say they're to the left of Cheech and Chong. How does it feel when Family First clobbered you at the last election over similar policies that they've entered into a deal like this with the Liberty and Democracy Party?
Well, I think it really demonstrates that Family First doesn't really stand by any particular set of principles. I mean, the Greens are out there saying it's social justice, it's environment, it's peace and non-violence, participatory democracy. Now, what does Family First stand for? And especially on top of one of their New South Wales state executive being disendorsed for engaging in internet pornography. So I think there are a few questions to be asked about what Family First actually stands for.
Thanks very much for being on the program.
Thank you.
Greens Senator for Tasmania, Christine Milne. And on ABC Radio National, Radio Australia, online and on your pod, this is the Religion Report. Well, now let's hear from the Reverend Fred Nile, who, as well as being the National President of the Christian Democratic Party, has been a member of the New South Wales Parliament for more than 25 years. At this federal election, his wife Elaine is number two on the Christian Democratic Party's Senate ticket for New South Wales as the running mate to Paul Green. Fred Nile, welcome to the program. Why do you think Family First has decided to preference the Liberty and Democracy Party, Climate Change Coalition and Pauline Hanson over you? What have you done to upset them?
Well, they certainly, I suppose, putting in polite terms, double-crossed us.
What are they up to? Is this all about undermining the Green vote, or what's it about?
I'm not sure. I know that they have told me that they're pragmatic, that they'll make decisions on the basis of what it takes to win, whereas we operate on Christian principles. So I suppose that could be their explanation as to how they can do this.
So who are you endorsing, Fred?
Well, we have given our preferences to the Liberal National Party, to the coalition in the Senate, and that was because they promised if we did, they would give us their preferences in the Senate. We're not interested actually in getting the Liberal National Party elected. We want to get our candidate elected to the Senate, Pastor Paul Green, who is running a very effective campaign at the moment.
Is it all a political game when it gets to the Senate and this swapping of preferences around, Fred Nile?
Well, it's open to manipulation, and I think everybody should be very careful what is being done and how they are allocating their preferences. There are a lot of new parties that have just started up, Hear Our Voice and Carers and so on, who I think are very sincere people, but they've moved into an area where they're kind of swimming with the sharks.
Are Christian issues making a strong showing during this campaign, do you think? Or are we in fact beginning to see the Christian vote splintering all over the place with moves like this one by Family First?
Well, I suppose the first objective was to try to get Christians involved in politics, and I think that is happening to a greater extent. It doesn't necessarily mean that there'll be more talk about moral issues, and in many ways moral issues are not getting a very high visibility in this campaign, in this particular federal campaign, because I suppose you could say both Mr Rudd and Mr Howard have sort of neutralised them to an extent. But I think there are still undercurrents. But at least, in my opinion, there is far more involvement of Christians in the election and in all issues, which has and should have always have been the case, as it was always the case with our party. People would say you're a single-issue party. We've always been concerned about every issue, and I believe that's right. The Christians should be concerned about every issue, whether it's climate change, the economy, work choice, jobs.
Social justice, even.
Social justice, all those issues should be of concern to Christians, no doubt about it.
Thank you very much for being on the program.
Okay, my pleasure.
One big happy family. That's the Reverend Fred Nile, and that's all this week. More election material next week when we'll speak to the Centre for an Ethical Society about the results of their questionnaire. And you can access both questionnaires from the Australian Christian Lobby and the Centre for an Ethical Society on our website at abc.net.au/religion, where you can also find a transcript. Thanks this week to producers John Diamond and Hagar Cohen. I'm Stephen Crittenden. See you next week.
You've been listening to another ABC Radio National podcast. ABC Radio National, on air and online, with many of our programs available as podcasts or MP3 downloads. All the details at abc.net.au/rn/podcast.